I want you to take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter number 8, if you will, please. Exodus chapter number 8. The sermon tonight is entitled Mutual Concession, and you'll understand why. Exodus chapter number 8. Once you find Exodus chapter 8, I'd like you to find verse number 25. Exodus 8:25. And then if you would please, let's stand together as we read the Word of God. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 25. And I'm going to read out loud through verse number 27, I think it is, and then I'll go to one other verse, and then we'll have the sermon. Exodus 8:25, it says, "And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Now, I'm going to read one other verse to you. In Exodus chapter 12, verse number 51, it says, "And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." If you'll look back at me, let me make a brief explanation. What I read to you first was the beginning of the story. What I read to you at last was kind of the ending of that particular story. And I'll explain all of that to you in just a second. But let's pray and ask God to help us this evening. Father, bless the sermon. Lord, you know the spirit in which it was prepared. And Father, you know the purpose for which it was prepared. Now, God, I pray that you would help each of us to be guarded about this thing of mutual concession. Might we not compromise with the devil? Holy Spirit of God, do a work in our lives, please. Help the sermon tonight that you would be glorified and that you would be pleased. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pharaoh had the children of Israel in bondage. God told Moses, God said, "Moses, you go tell Pharaoh to let the people go." God said, "Moses, you go down there to Pharaoh and you just say to him, let my people go." Well, what happened, if you know the story, Moses went to tell Pharaoh to let the people go, let them go out of bondage. And there was a challenge. Pharaoh did not want to let them go. And a series of events took place while God was convincing Pharaoh to let the people go. At one point, Moses and God made all the water turn to blood, and it was an act of power, an act of strength, so that we would convince Pharaoh to let the people go. At another time, there were flies that covered the entire land. Again, it was God and a power play trying to make Pharaoh see you need to let the people go. At another time, there were frogs that covered the land, and there was just frogs and everything. Over and over again, there were these supernatural events and spectacular things that happened while God and Moses were saying to Pharaoh, let the people out of this captivity. And finally, what happened was a death angel passed through the land in the evening, and in God's final attempt to get the people free and for Pharaoh to listen to God in the night, this death angel passes over the land, and the firstborn children of the all the Egyptians, they all died. Well, that was God getting Pharaoh's attention, because Moses, representing God, had said, "Pharaoh, let my people go." And each time it got heavier and heavier, the pressure that God put on Pharaoh to listen to the request, "Let my people go." Well, when all the firstborn children died in the land, Pharaoh said, all right, I'm going to let your people go. But Pharaoh then began to negotiate. He said, okay, I'm going to let the people go. I'll let you go. But I want to make a deal with you. And the very first deal, Pharaoh said, Moses, I want you to compromise with me. Meet me halfway on this thing. And in Exodus chapter 8, verse 25, 26, and 27, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Moses. I'm going to let you and the people go, and you can go, you can leave the city, and you can go out of the land and give a sacrifice. He said, but I want you to give that sacrifice basically where I tell you to go. In other words, God's people wanted to go give a sacrifice to the Lord. And Pharaoh said, you know what, I'm going to let you go give a sacrifice to the Lord, but you'll give the sacrifice to the Lord where I tell you to give the sacrifice to the Lord. And so Pharaoh, he's negotiating. He's bargaining, if you will. And then Moses would not agree to it. Moses said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in to that. So in Exodus chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, he said, okay, Pharaoh said, Moses, I'll let the people go, but I don't want you to go too far. I'm going to let you out of the land, but the minute you get over the border, I want you to stop right there. That way I have access to you, and we're close to one another. Don't go too far. So I will let you go, but I won't let you go too far. And Moses, very wisely, and under the leadership of God, Moses said, no deal. I'm not going to compromise. You said you're going to let us go. God told you to let us go. You need to let us go. Well, then, in Exodus chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Pharaoh said, okay, all right, you won't let me tell you where to go give your sacrifice, and you won't let me tell you how far you can go. He said, but I've got another idea. How about you leave, and all the adults, you go. Just leave your children behind. And Moses said, no deal. And a lot of you laugh about that, but there's some of you, you're fundamentalists, but your kids aren't. I know all sorts of people that have decided, well, this is good for me, but the old time religion is not really what I want for my children. But that's what it was. I mean, he said, listen, moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, you all go, but let's leave the youth behind. And I have to tell you something, folks. As pastor of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I have no intention of rearing a generation of adult fundamentalists and having a whole bunch of rebel teenagers that go their own way. I really think that we're all to be fundamentalists. I mean, all the way back to the nursery, as much as they can, they ought to be for the old-time religion. But he said, leave the kids behind. You don't want your kids to be a fundamentalist. Well, Moses said, no deal. No deal. Well, then in Exodus chapter 10, verse 24, 25, and 26, he said, all right, you can go, but leave your cattle and your possessions behind. So Pharaoh said, so you go ahead and go, but leave your stuff here. Well, he just kept on negotiating. He just kept on trying to figure out how to make it happen. And Moses said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to do that. Now, let me explain something. The word compromise, according to Webster's dictionary, it means to settle by mutual concession. That's where we get the title of the sermon, mutual concession. In other words, Pharaoh was saying to Moses, you please me a little, you please God a little, let's make a deal. You please me some, you please God some, we'll compromise. You give in, I'll give in, we'll all be happy. Pharaoh said, you please God by giving a sacrifice, but you please me by giving the sacrifice where I want you to. Pharaoh said, you please God by leaving Egypt captivity, but you please me by staying very close. Pharaoh said, you please God by taking the adults with you, but please me by leaving the youth behind. He said, you please God by all the people leaving, but you leave your cattle and your possessions behind. Let's make a deal. Let's compromise. Meet me halfway on this thing. Folks, can I tell you something? The devil works like that all the time. Yeah, this isn't anything new. The devil's constantly trying to get you and I to compromise. Now, Moses did not compromise. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 51, it says, and this is the latter part of the same story. We read this verse earlier. It says in Exodus 12:51, it says, "And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." In other words, Moses did not compromise. There was no mutual concession, and Pharaoh let them leave the land. So Moses did the right thing. Moses wanted to please God and God only. Moses was not trying to please Pharaoh. Moses was not trying to please all the people involved. Moses was not even trying to please Moses. I think Christians should decide in their lives not to be compromising with the devil. I'd be careful compromising with yourself. Some people make deals with themselves. Well, I'll serve God to this degree, but not to that. So God, I'll meet you halfway. Let me tell you something. You're dealing with the holy God. You don't look up to God and say, "God, this is what I'll give you, but that's all you get. Now you give to me, I'll give you." It's not a chess game. You move, God moves. It's not a checker game. You move, God moves. I've got news for you. We're all to submit to God. We're to submit to God. And so we are not to practice this thing called mutual concession. We're not supposed to be meeting the devil halfway. We're not supposed to even be meeting our desires halfway. We're to be all in with God. I got to thinking about it. This thing of mutual concession, I see it happen throughout the Bible. I'm going to give you some illustrations of it. For instance, Lot practiced mutual concession, I think, with himself. And I'll show you why. Old Lot. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10 and 11, it says this, "And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." I'm going to tell you this little story about Lot, and how Lot, he compromised with himself and for himself. Lot and his uncle Abraham had a business together, and the business was thriving, and they agreed it had become time to divide up and go their separate ways. Uncle Abraham suggested it to Lot because their herdsmen were not getting along. In other words, the hired help, they were not getting along. And Abraham said, "Lot, you need to take your employees and go one direction. I need to take my employees and go another direction. That way we have peace with this business." And so that they wanted to live good Christian lives, but they were going to separate so that they got along a little bit better. And Lot, he obeys his uncle's wise suggestion. He said, We'll do it. We'll separate." Abraham, I believe, was a man of God, and that separation was the will of God. And remember, the whole purpose of that separation was so that one group would live for the Lord and the other group would live for the Lord, and there would not be tension as they shared that business together. And Lot obeyed and was wise for separating, because Abraham said, "Let's separate." Lot said, "Let's separate." So Lot said, I'm going to take a step toward God, and I want to do the right thing." But you know what Lot did? When Lot picked which direction he would go, Lot went to the wicked city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he went there. You talk about worldliness and wickedness and vileness. And Lot said, "Sure, I'll separate. That's a good thing to do. But I'm going to the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah." You know, what's he doing? He decided he would do one thing that was good while he attached it to something else. He's compromising now. All compromise has its roots in pride. Lot pleased God a little in the matter. You say, how? Well, Lot, when he separated, that was pleasing to God. But Lot also pleased himself in the matter. Lot pleased God by separating from Abraham's herdsmen, but Lot pleased himself by going to a wicked, partying, lustful, terrible city. So what did Lot do? Lot was practicing mutual concession with himself. He said, "I'm going to take a step toward God for God, and then I'm going to do something for me in there." Now, you talk about the, you talk about terrible results of that story. Lot said, I'm going to take the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was a city full of Sodomites. The Sodomites asked for God's angels. And part of the process, Lot actually offers his daughters to wicked people. Lot's wife turns to a pillar of salt. The city is destroyed by fire and brimstone. What happened? Lot said, you know, I'll take a step in the right direction, but then you know what? I'm going to get something out of that for me. And so there was a compromise, and Lot was compromising for himself. Folks, don't compromise your stand for God, hoping that you'll do better for yourself. And that's what Lot thought. Lot thought, okay, I'm going to do part of what God wants, but I want something in this for me. Folks, the best thing that we'll ever do is glorify God in all that we do. Lot really thought, I'm going to get something out of this for me. You have any idea what he got out of it? What a mess. Because Lot was compromising so that Lot could have what Lot wanted. God's will is all about God. God's will is all about God. You say, well, I do God's will as long as I get what I want out of it. I'm very sorry, my friend. That'll get you in trouble. Now, there's something you need to understand. God loves you and God has your best interest in mind. When you look at God and say, God, I'll do your will as long as it turns out the way I want. God had a better plan for you all along, better than any plan that you'd ever have for yourself. The best thing anybody here could do is say, I want God's will. That's the only will that I want. And that's the best place for me. Give me God's will. Let the chips fall where they may. I've got to trust God. But there are actually people in here that would say, boy, I'd get into church like I'm supposed to as long as I got out of it what I want. Well, this isn't all about you. And you're God's child. God's will always be better than your will. Always be better. And what we have going here is Lot practiced mutual concession with himself. He said, okay, and some people think this way. Okay, God, I'll do this for you. But there's some other, I want something out of this. I want something for my flesh out of this. I better get this out of it. Or I just won't. There are people that will say, oh, I'll tithe, God, but you better bless me financially. I've got news for you. You better tithe whether God blesses you financially or not, because you're commanded to tithe. I'll do what you want me to do as long as I get what I want out of it. It's not supposed to work that way, folks. You better just trust that God knows what He's doing and just do God's will. Lot practiced mutual concession or compromise for himself and with himself. But not only that. I think of Samson. We look at this mutual concession problem, this compromising problem. Samson practices mutual concession with the opposite sex. Lot was making a deal with Lot and for Lot. Now Samson, he practices mutual concession with the opposite sex. Let me read to you from Judges chapter 16, verse number 6. The Bible says, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now let me remind you a little bit about this story. Samson was a great man. He had great power. The Philistines were trying to conquer Samson. He had a connection to a gal named Delilah, and the Philistines came to Delilah and said, help us figure out where he gets all of his power, and if we can figure it out, we can take him. And that's kind of the picture. Now, Delilah wanted the secret to Samson's power, and he gave it to her. Why? He wanted to please her. He compromises, and he tells her the place from which his power came. Now, I have to tell you, I really believe, I'm sure he planned to keep his power with God. I do not think for a moment that Samson went into this compromise thinking he was going to lose all. Folks, I do not believe that Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah and said, hey, I'm going to do part of what God wants, and then I'm going to do the rest of what I want. I don't think he went into it saying, okay, might as well kiss all the blessing of God goodbye, because I know what I'm doing. No, 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 no. That isn't how it worked. When Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot thought that he was going to get what he wanted. It was going to be good for him, and he could give God a little bit of what he wanted. And I believe that when Samson got into this situation with Delilah, I do not believe that Samson said, you know what, I'm going to tell you this, the secret to my power, and okay, it's all over with now. I'm going to lose my power. I'm going to lose the blessing of God. That's not what Samson thought. He thought, we can compromise, and I can keep the power of God, and I can keep on getting the blessing of God, but I can give in and I can compromise. But that's not how it worked. That's not how it worked at all. I think Samson said in his heart, I can please God a little. I can please Delilah a little. Now, because of the way the story was set up and in God's will, if she were to cut off his hair, he would lose his power. And so, she cut off his hair. He lost his power. Let me tell you all something. Many Christians lose their power by practicing mutual concession with the opposite sex. If you're a young man and you're single, do not compromise your purity for a woman. Don't compromise. I don't think there's any young man that says, you know, I'd like to have that woman. Now, I want to please God a little, and I want to please a woman a little. I don't think anybody that makes the wrong choice, I don't believe they think they're going to sacrifice much in regard to their relationship with God. Samson ended up sacrificing it all. If you're a young single man, don't compromise your purity for a young single woman. If you're a young single lady, do not compromise your purity for a man. If you're a married man, do not compromise your marital relationship to please another woman. If you're a married woman, you do not compromise your marriage vows to please another man. You know, I'd say to every preacher out there, do not compromise your call by trying to please some woman. What? Through the years, I've tried to guard my ministry. I try to be kind to ladies and gentle with ladies, but there's not a lady out there that'll say I've ever been flirting with them and looked at them the wrong way. I am not going to compromise my ministry, but by God's grace, by the opposite sex. And folks, everybody here, you have a ministry. Everybody here, you're to be accomplishing something for God. But boy, we get to thinking, you know what? I want some mutual concession. I want to have what the opposite sex offers me, but I still want to have God. Folks, it doesn't usually work out that you get both. You better pick God. And so Samson was practicing mutual concession with Delilah. Again, I don't believe for one moment Samson was throwing in the towel and saying, okay, I give up. I'm not going to serve God anymore. Delilah, here's the secret to my power. No, I think he thought, I'll take a step toward you, but I'm going to keep one step toward God and everything's going to be fine. We'll meet each other halfway. But it didn't work out that way. Do you understand how it ended up with Samson? Samson ended up blinded and chained to a grinding mill like an animal. Why? Because he thought he could swing a deal with the devil. He's swinging a deal with the opposite sex. Lot swinging a deal with his flesh. I'll do what Uncle Abraham said, taking a step toward God. I'll do what my passion wants, a step toward the devil. I'll hold hands with God and the devil, and I'll be the go-between, and everything will be fine. Folks, you're never going to hold hands with the devil and it turn out all right. You'll always get the short end of the deal. You'll always get cheated. He's a liar. He's a thief. He'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than what you plan to pay. But what he tries to get you to do is just give in a little. Moses did not compromise with Pharaoh. But Lot, he compromised with his own passions. And Samson, he compromised with the opposite sex. Let me give you another quick story. King Jehoshaphat practiced mutual concession with his peers. With his peers. 2 Chronicles 18:2 it says, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. Now, King Jehoshaphat was a rich king. He had a lot of honor, and at this point in his life, God was with him. but a fellow by the name of Ahab. You all know who Ahab was married to? A very popular godly woman by the name of Jezebel. Wrong God. Ahab comes along and says to old Jehoshaphat, hey, let's team up together. You don't have to give up God, but you help me. There's, you see the compromise? So Jehoshaphat compromises and yokes up with old King Ahab. They were peers. They were both kings. They were equal in stature. And if you know the story, you know Jehoshaphat, he ends up having regrets having done this. He almost dies because of it. But what was he doing? He was letting his peer put pressure on him. And he said, well, I'm going to hang on to God, but you know what, Ahab? I'll take your hand. I think I can do both. This king, he already knew. Jehoshaphat knew the blessing that was available to a king, and he needed that blessing. I don't think when Jehoshaphat yoked up with Ahab, he said, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and blow it. I'm going to forget about blessing from God. It's all over with. No, I think he said, okay, Ahab, I'm going to take a step towards you, but don't worry, God. I'm going to take a step towards you. I'm going to do both. It ended up costing him terribly. What happened? He was practicing mutual concession with his peers. And Samson practiced mutual concession with Delilah. And Lot practiced mutual concession with himself, his own passions. Let me give you another story. Solomon. Solomon practiced mutual concession with his family. Let me read you a scripture. In 1 Kings chapter 11, verse number 4, it says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Here it says he went after the way of his wives. Now, it does not say he gave up on God altogether. He just wanted to please his wives and please God at the same time. Folks, I got to tell you something. You need to love God and stay loyal to God, even if your wife doesn't want to, or your husband doesn't want to, or if your child doesn't want to. And look, if your dad served God all of his life and he suddenly decided not to serve God anymore, you're still supposed to serve God. This thing, hey, being backslidden is not supposed to be a family affair. But you know what happened to Solomon? Solomon said, now my wives want me to go one way, but God wants me to go another. And I do not believe for one second when he started catering to his wives, he was saying, I'm going to give up all the wisdom that God gave me. I'm going to give up all the power that God gave me. I'm just going to throw in the towel and give in to my wives. I'll do whatever you want. Go wherever you want. Be whatever you want. I don't think he was thinking that way. I think he said, I'm going to please my wives and I'm going to please God. I'm going to hold hands with my wives. I'm going to hold hands with God. I'm going to be the go-between. Folks, you're to please God. You're to please God. When you go to your family reunion, if I were you, I'd be real careful what you do. You're supposed to be a good Christian while you're there. Say, well, I better go and I have at least one Budweiser to fit in with my family. So you're going to hold hands with the lost behavior of your family and hold hands with God at the same time? You're not to compromise. You know, brothers and sisters will ask one another to compromise. Well, if you got a brother that doesn't want to serve God, don't you be giving in to that. If you've got a sister that doesn't want to serve God, don't you be giving into that. Well, I need to party with them just a little bit so they understand that, you know, I'm willing to associate with them. There's a better way to associate, and you don't have to get high, and you don't have to get drunk, and you don't have to go out and do wrong things. Look, there's some of you, you're a terrible example for your family. Terrible. Say, my family's big to me. Then be a good example to them. They don't need to see you compromising. Some of them think you're ridiculous already. You used to do right and you used to believe right, and now you've compromised so much, they don't even know what's right to believe anymore. Brothers will ask brothers to do wrong. Sisters will ask sisters to do wrong. And you know, and I believe this. I don't believe that Solomon, when he started giving in to his wives' wicked ways, they were serving other gods. I don't believe that he said, okay, I give up on Jesus. Okay, I give up on the Bible. Okay, I give up on God. That is not what Solomon did. Solomon said, let me hold hands with my backslidden ungodly wives. Let me hold hands with God. Let's see how this turns out. Well, it doesn't turn out well. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Hold hands with God. Parents, don't compromise. Let me tell you something. Especially, you know, those of you that have younger children and you say, I want my children to serve the Lord. And you ought to. You ought to. And you better start them young. You say, well, I'll get to it later on. You may not have anything to get to later on. You better start as young as possible. Teach them to do right now. But let me say to everybody, it's a whole lot easier to be the parent of a child that's taught right when they're little in the church than when they're a teenager in the church. And to every parent of a teenager in here, don't start compromising. If rock and roll music's bad, it's bad. I need to compromise with my child. You're not supposed to compromise sin. And for some of you, this will be a little hard for you to swallow. But I still think the Bible teaches that what mom and dad says goes. And what mom and dad says ought to be determined by what God said. And you say, well, I want to be careful. If my kids want to go do a little wrong, that's okay. Here's what you're doing. I'll hold hands with my child's wrong while I'm holding hands with God and hope it turns out okay. It won't turn out okay. Well, I hope they'll choose the right thing. Well, they probably won't. I had a family member that came to me and said, I want you to marry me to the woman that's going to become my wife. And I asked this question. I said, is she a born-again Christian? And they said, no. And I said, well, I can't do that marriage then. They said, well, wait a minute. And called out the relationship I have with them. But we're blood. You won't marry us? I said, I can't. Say, why? I hold hands with God on that. The Bible says a saved person's not to marry a lost person. Say, well, shouldn't you have met him halfway? I can't. I don't do what I think is right. I'm to do what God thinks is right. So I couldn't. I couldn't compromise. I wonder how many times. You know, I don't go to churches. They're not true to the gospel. I don't compromise that. I just don't. Solomon played mutual concession with his family. Jehoshaphat played mutual concession with his peers. Samson played mutual concession with the opposite sex. Lot played mutual concession with his own passions and himself. Peter played mutual concession with the crowd. Most of you know the story. Jesus was on his way to the crucifixion, and Peter followed Jesus afar off. And as we've been told over and over again, there was a fire outside the judgment hall, and there's a bunch of people standing around it, and Peter's there following Jesus afar off. And somebody said to Peter, aren't you one of his disciples? And in John 18:7, he said, I am not. They ask again, said, aren't you one of his? And in verse number 25, he said, I am not. They ask again. And in John 18, verse 26 and 27, Peter then denied again, the Bible says. Three times he denied being associated with Jesus. And I got to be honest with you. I don't think Peter was standing there denying, saying, I give up on being a preacher. I give up on God. I don't believe the Bible anymore. I'm getting out. I'm bailing out. No, I think Peter thought, I got to figure out how to get along with this crowd, but still stay connected to God. I'm going to hold hands with the crowd, and I'm going to hold hands with God all at the same time. And God, you need me. I'm a go-between. And he wasn't supposed to be a go-between. He was just, you know what he should have done? He should have said, I am with Jesus. I am a disciple. He was the Son of God. That's what he should have done. But he got cowardly, and he decided, I'll tell you what, I need to negotiate through this thing. Can I tell you why a lot of people want to negotiate that sort of thing? Because they're cowardly, and they're afraid to be persecuted for telling the truth. You say, I want to soften it up for God. God doesn't want you softening up the truth. Now, you can soften up hearts, but there are better ways of doing it than denying the truth of God. The crowd at your public school, young people, will ask you to compromise. Go to school and be a good Christian. Don't hide your Bible while you're at school. I can tell you how strong and how good of a Christian some of you are that go to the public school. I carried my Bible to school every day to the public school, and they cannot stop you from doing that. So if I took my Bible to school, people might look at me. Right. You're supposed to be different. Well, they might mock me. Well, they mock Jesus. They might tease me. They tease Jesus. You can ask my wife. She went to the same school I went. I carried my Bible to school every day, and they mocked me and they teased me. But I wasn't going to try to hold hands with the crowd and hold hands with Jesus. I was holding hands with Jesus. There's some of you need to learn to take your Bible to work with you. Say, if I do, they'll know where I stand. Wouldn't hurt you. You'd be listening to less dirty jokes that way. They wouldn't be inviting you to all their parties that you go to so you can compromise. Hey, you might even find at church. There might be somebody trying to get you to compromise at church. Then I wish I could say that everybody in the crowd's determined and dedicated and holy and sold out to God. But that's not so. There may be somebody here that would try to get you to be immoral. If they do, that's wrong. Don't compromise. We're against it. They might try to get you to cuss. They might try to get you to steal. They might try to get you to badmouth your parents or their parents. Hey, we're not for that. That's wrong. That's sin. And I'll tell you something, folks. Anytime you're going to take a stand, there's probably going to be a little bit of a price to pay. But we compromise because we don't want to have to take that stand. We don't want to pay that price. It's been very difficult through the years. I've had to say to friends, no, I won't. I didn't try to figure a way out of doing right. I've had to do it with friends. I've had to do it over and over again with family. When my children were growing up, they were told, you live at my house, this is how it's going to be. You didn't live in my house and go drinking. That just wasn't allowed. I know for some of you, just shocked. But you ought to, look, and I'm not talking about being rude, and I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about being a Christian that takes a stand and doesn't try to hold hands with wrong and right at the same time. It's called mutual concession. You give in a little, they give in a little, everything turns out right. We're not to give in on truth and what's right and what's holy. There are people that might say, well, Pastor, you know, let's compromise about a few things here at the church. I'll never compromise about the King James Bible. You might as well forget that. You say, well, let's compromise about our music and let's get some of that contemporary in here. I'm not going to compromise about that. Well, let's compromise about what salvation is. You're a little bit strong about, you know, the Lordship salvation and the work salvation. It's a heresy. It's out of hell. And if you preach it, it's wrong. I'm not compromising on it. You say, well, you make such a big deal about being Baptist. I'm not Baptist by preference. I'm Baptist by conviction. I'm not going to compromise. I'm just not going to compromise it. You say, why? I need God. I need God. You say, you need me. No, I don't need you. I need God. And I've been through enough battles in life that I know who I need. I've never wanted to lose anybody from my churches, but I will guarantee you when it comes down to it, you say, meet me halfway. I'll say, buddy, I'm not coming halfway. I'm standing with God. I'm going to hold hands with God. I don't hold hands with you. I don't need you to make this happen. I need God to make this happen. And folks, you say, preacher, I like that. I want you to be that way. Well, I want you to be that way at school, and I want you to be that way at work, and I want you to be that way at home, and I want you to be that way with your family, and I want you to be that way out there in the world. Somebody's got to stand up and say, there is a difference between right and wrong, and I'm not going to hold hands with both. And again, I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being nasty. But I am talking about taking a stand. Did you know something? God will not practice mutual concession regarding salvation. He will not. You either get saved God's way or you go to hell. That's all there is to it. There's only one way to get born again. as to realize you're a sinner, that there's a penalty for sin, that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and you must humbly ask God to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart, and be your Savior. That will get you to heaven. That's called salvation. You say, but you're being a little broad. You're being way, way too specific. No, that's God's being specific. And if someone says, but wonder if someone sincerely believes another way, what will happen to them? They'll sincerely go to hell when they die. Because you either come by way of grace through faith, or you'll go to hell. God said, I'm not meeting you halfway. Not going to do it. I call the sermon mutual concession. Pharaoh said, all right. He's pretty slick. He said, all right, I'll let you go. I'll let you out of captivity, but let's make a deal. You know what God wanted? He wanted them all the way out. So Pharaoh comes along with the deal and says, how about this? And Moses looked at God and God said, uh-uh. Moses looked back to Pharaoh and said, nope. Pharaoh said, well, let's try this. And Moses looked at God and God said, nope. Moses looked back to Pharaoh and said, nope. Pharaoh said, okay, let's try something else. How about we do this? Moses looked at God and God said, no deal. Moses looked back to Pharaoh and said, no deal. And Pharaoh said, let's try something totally, this is totally off the wall. Let's try this. I think you're going to like this. It's going to be good for both of us. He made the offer. Moses looked to God and God said, no offer's adequate. Do what I say. Moses said, we're going to do what God said. Pharaoh said, get. And do you know what ended up happening when they went after Moses and the children of Israel when they escaped? His whole army and everybody drowned. Because Pharaoh said, let's make a deal. Let's compromise. So you all know, you can compromise when you buy a car. You can compromise when you buy a house. You can compromise on your phone bill. But when it comes to the truth of God, he said, there's no compromise in regard to that. We got to do right. The sermon is called Mutual Concession. A little heavy for a few of you, but you can take it. Or if you'd like, I could compromise with you about the truth of the sermon. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've heard the sermon. Watch out now. Nobody said be rude. Nobody said be unkind. Nobody said that you ought to be going around attacking and being vicious with people. But I am going to tell you something. There are people here that need to learn how to take a stand and stop compromising that for which you stand. Whether it be with yourself, with family, with your schoolmates, your workmates, with people in the community. Folks, you just got to know. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I go to the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I'm not ashamed of the fact that we're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible only type of a church. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not going to compromise that which I'm being associated. Quit trying to hold hands with everybody else and a little bit God. Some of you, it's time to let go of the world and get a hold of God's hand. Get yourself straightened out with God. If God has spoken to your heart, my head is bowed, my eyes are closed. Would someone here tonight say, boy, preacher, I needed to be reminded of this. I know I'm not supposed to be compromising and selling out, but God has spoken to my heart about it tonight. I have my head bowed. I have my eyes closed. Would you raise your hand and let God see your hand? Say, I've got to be careful that I'm not guilty of this compromise, this mutual concession, and you can put your hands down. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. Let me tell you something. If you don't get saved, you'll go to hell. You say, you trying to be me? No, I'm trying to tell you the truth. I cannot compromise that truth. You either get saved or you go to hell. You say, that's harsh. No, that's true. The people that are hurting you are the ones that say, oh, don't worry about that. They're hurting you. They're compromisers. Hell's still in the Bible. It's still a real place. If you've never been saved, you come tonight. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If God has spoken to your heart, maybe you're guilty of compromising for yourself, or compromising with family, or compromising at work, or compromising at home, or compromising in the community. Maybe you need to get a hold of yourself and get yourself squared away with God. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, I wish you would use it. The altar is open. I worked in the factories. I worked in the mills. I did not go around starting fights with the bosses and fights with the employees, but I'll tell you one thing, they knew where I stood. My wife and I, in our families, we have dealt with a lot of things where our families did not understand us and our families did not believe the way we believe. We loved them. We tried to be kind to them. We tried to be good to them. We did that all the way through. But they knew exactly what I stood for. I did not compromise myself continuously. There were just sometimes people did not like where I stood. Sorry, I tried to be as polite, as gentle, and as cautious and wise with my belief as I could. But when it came right down to it, sometimes you just got to stand where you stand. Mutual concession. Mutual concession. What is it? It's compromise. You please God a little. You please yourself a little. You please God a little. You please your peers a little. You please God a little. You please your workmates a little. I think it's supposed to be please God. Please God. If you look up here for a second, I try very hard. I don't try to be a rude person. I don't try to be a curt person or a hateful person. I love people. But, you know, every once in a while, I have to just say what I believe. It's very important. I believe it or not, it's been a few weeks ago. I had someone here at church that came over to me with someone else with them and said, they put their hands on their hips and said, "Well, is it true you have to live a certain way to be a nursery worker?" And you know what I told him? I said, "Yes. And it's probably more strict than what you understand." He said, "Well, why did you do that?" "Because it's true." And they already knew it was true. And they were just checking to see if I would compromise my stance. Now, you all will find this out. If you agreed to live a certain way to be a nursery worker and you don't live that way, I don't compromise. People have watched. You say, "Well, I wonder if everybody leaves the church." Then I'll pastor myself. I don't do what I do at the church to make you happy. Now, I want you happy, by the way. I hope you all realize that. I want you happy, but I have to keep God happy first. And we're not trying to be a bunch of rude people. But look, there are some things, if you believe it, you believe it. It doesn't change. And so, be careful. And again, the little hands on the hips, they already knew where I stood. They just wanted to see if I'd say it. And I thought about it for a second. I thought, okay, I think what they want to hear is, yes, very true. And so y'all know, yeah, it is very true. You know what's happened? You know what's happened to churches everywhere? Mutual concession. You know what's happened to America? Mutual concession. We'll give the conservatives some of what they want and then give the liberals some of what they want. Let's try to keep everybody happy. How are we doing? Think we're keeping everybody happy? No. Say, what should they do? What's right? Just do what's right. Say, but will that keep everybody happy? No. But look, if you do right, God is the one that determines right. It's not you. It's not our job to dictate the result of right. It's our right to do right. That's what we're supposed to do.